our last week of going through our series entitled I Love My Church. Hopefully we have learned some things and grown together during this sermon series. So we're going to talk this week, it'll be our last one, talking about sharing Jesus. When we think about loving our church and sharing Jesus, you ever been to a restaurant and had a great experience and also a bad experience at a restaurant? Now, for most of us, we think about a great dining experience come down to probably two things. Come down to food and the atmosphere. I mean, you walked into a place and you saw the place and it just looked dirty. And you said, I can't eat here, right? Or you walked into a place and it was very clean and nice. You said, man, it looks pretty clean here. It makes you feel, you know, kind of comfortable. And so we think about that an atmosphere is all about what you see and what you taste. For instance, I always say, you know, food plus atmosphere equals experience. The food and the atmosphere will dictate how you experience this restaurant. If you hear about a new restaurant coming to town, you know, there are two things you ask yourself. How's the food and what's the feel of what's it like? I've talked to most of you because most of you in here like to eat, like myself. I mean, nothing bad about that. You know, you guys like going to good restaurants. And you always tell me, man, the food was good. I say, you know, how was the setting? Oh, it's a nice setting, very, very nice setting, very comfortable. So those two things make it, you know, make it good to you. Now, apply that same thing to our I Love My Church series. Now, Jesus has given, you know, us new lives without fences, lives that are part of a new community he is creating. This life in this community, in his kingdom, is a life as it was meant to be, giving us a new identity, a new set of values and ethics to live by. Now, we concluded our first week that our reputation as people of this community should be one of love. You know, don't you agree that when you think about Christians or when you think about church, they should think about us being people who love one another, love other people who are different from us? God wants all people to know this life of salvation, forgiveness, peace, healing, purpose, and hope. So when we think about this series, the question has to be considered, how do people come to this new life with God? How do people hear and discover, how do they experience the kingdom of God? So we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to answer that question. How do people discover the life I just talked about? The healing, the purpose, the hope, the forgiveness. How do people get that? Question to ask you, how did you get that? How did that come into your life? How did you experience God through Jesus Christ? So there's a couple of scriptures, of verses that I want to talk about, and it's found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. So we have the Gospel of Matthew. Now that's the first book in the New Testament. So it's Matthew, and it's chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 13 through 16. So when you have it, please stand as we read God's word together. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, and we're going to figure out how we can share Jesus with others, what it means to share Jesus with others, and how they are to be involved into the life that he wants us all to live. Verse 13 of chapter 5, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said to them, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts today through your word. Help us to be more like Jesus Christ in our everyday life. Amen. You may be seated. You if we are going to help people to experience God's life the way it should be lived, we have to be salt and light. We have to really be about loving my church. It's more than just wearing a t-shirt saying, I love my church. And I put the point that I put on the paper was this, on your outline, is loving the church impacts the community for the gospel. Loving the church impacts the community for the gospel. When you think about salt and you think about light, if you had to use one word, I would say impact. We should impact the world in a positive way. Your life should have an impact on the people around. If we are truly loving the church, loving our church the way we should, then it's going to impact not only us on the inside, it's going to impact our community. I said before that our community should be better because we're here. We really should be making an impact, a positive impact on the community. And I believe that when we are truly loving the church, that people will take notice. They will see a difference in our lives. They will see a difference in how we treat one another and also how we treat them, how we treat people who are different from us, who don't agree with us, who believe something totally different. The key that they should always be able to say, they may disagree with me, but they sure do love me. I think that's so important, that we are to be those type of people, those type of Christians in the world that we live in. So the first point I want you to know is this. God entrusts us to create the kingdom experience. God entrusts us to create the kingdom experience. Now that is amazing that God would entrust you and I to create the kingdom experience. When Jesus left the earth, he gathered his disciples and he told them, I'm going to leave. But I want you to stay here and I want you to make disciples of all nations. Even from the beginning of time, God has entrusted humanity with his creation. When God created the heavens and the earth, and when he said that it was all good, he created Adam and Eve, he told them to do what? To fill the earth, to take care of it. So he said, I've created this, and I'm going to put Adam and Eve, you guys, in charge to till it, to take care of it, to multiply. So even in the beginning, God has allowed humanity to be a part of what he's doing in the world. If people's lives are going to be changed in the world, it's going to happen through you and I. God has entrusted us to create that kingdom experience. You are the salt of the earth. Now, salt brings taste. It is a flavoring agent. It brings taste to bland food. It also preserves. Now, have you ever been somewhere and someone gave you a plate of food, really not up to snuff, or it was kind of bland? What are the first words out of your mouth? Can you please pass the salt? Why? Because you wouldn't put the flavor on that stuff. I mean, there's nothing worse. See, I'm from the country, so there's nothing worse than getting some bland grits with no taste to it. I mean, it's nothing good about getting some grits with no salt. So if you hand me a bowl of bland grits, I'm going to say, can you pass the salt and the butter and the black pepper? That's just me. So if I ever come to your house and you have grits, just have some salt, some butter, and some black pepper. We're good to go. But God has entrusted us with that. And so when we think about it, our world is bland. And we are the flavoring agent. You know, I just believe that when people are around us, and they should just feel like, man, they leave better because they've been in our presence. No, don't you believe that? I just believe that people should come to our church and leave here better than how they came in because they've been around a whole bunch of salt that has flavored their lives. Not too much salt give you high blood pressure, but enough to make the food just really good, right? So that's what Jesus said about us. You are the salt of the earth. He talked about his disciples. You, and that really word that he says is you and only you are the salt of the earth. And what that really means is that God has no other alternative than to use his church to bring about his purpose and plan on the earth. We're it. Jesus Christ is not coming back down to walk along to Temecula, knocking on doors, sharing the gospel. Jesus is not going to do that. But he will do it through us. As we love people, as we're in the community, loving on people, helping people, then Jesus would do it through us. And they would see that, wow, they love people because they love God. So God entrusts us with that. Now I want you to know that our presence is necessary as God's means of influencing the world for good. Our presence is necessary as God's means of influencing the world for good. Regardless of your status or profession, the kingdom life that we possess is invaluable for the effect it will have on our daily circles of influence. The people in your circle of influence, I call your sphere of influence. There are some people that in your life that I would never be able to reach. There's some people in my life that you'll never be able to reach. But if we're being the salt and being the light in our sphere of influence, then we'll be able to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ because we're in their lives. And so you are necessary. You are valuable in influencing the world for good. Every Christian is necessary. No one is saying, oh, that person doesn't matter. You do matter. You matter to God. And I don't care what people say about you, what the world says about you, you are important and you matter to God. There's somebody that you can influence for good, regardless of your status. It says, you are the light of the world, Matthew 5:14. Now, in Jesus' time, they had small wicker oil lamps, which gave little light in the average home and had a few windows. They were most effective when set on a lampstand. Even the smallest light, actually lift it up, can chase away darkness. The smallest light, lifted up, can chase away darkness. Light removes the darkness in the same way that Jesus' life and message of salvation brought life to us. His disciples are a living demonstration of the arrival of the kingdom. So that's my point. Point B is this. As disciples, we are a living demonstration of the arrival of the kingdom of heaven. We are a living demonstration of that. So what does that mean, to be a living demonstration? That means that when people look at our lives, and when we say that we have surrendered our life to Jesus Christ, we believe in him, they should be able to see, wow, this is what life looks like under God. This is what life looks like when God is ruling their lives. This is what people look like who have seen forgiveness. They have been given healing. They have been called out of darkness into a marvelous light. This is what they look like, and that should happen in your sphere of influence. Have you ever had some buddies or some people that knew you before you were a Christian? I mean, they knew you. I mean, they got some stuff that they don't tell, but they knew you. And now that you became a Christian, do they see a difference in you? Have you ever talked to them about that and asked you, hey, there's something different about you? I mean, that should be a conversation that we all should have. There should be some people in our lives who knew us before, and now they see us, and they say, there's something different about you. And they're able to say, I see Christ in you. I see God being demonstrated in your life. Because we all want to live the kingdom life. And that kingdom life is one that's life is under the authority, the teaching, and the leadership of Jesus Christ. In every area of our lives, he has authority over our life. We under his teaching and his leadership, and he is guiding us. And that's what people want to see. They don't want to see perfect people. They want to see authentic people who are truly say, you know what? I'm a Christian. I'm following Jesus Christ with the best that I can with what I know. I'm trying to walk with him better every day. It's not about us being perfect. It's about us following the perfect God. And we're saying we're imperfect, but we're following him because we need him. And that's what people want to see, that we're genuinely trying to follow Jesus Christ and let our life be a demonstration that his kingdom has truly arrived. Jesus came preaching the kingdom. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is where? At hand. Then he told disciples, the kingdom of heaven is also near you and is in you. He said, it's near you, but the kingdom of heaven is also in you. That means that in my life, that what is supposed to happen as a Christian is that Jesus Christ should be ruling my life. He should be leading my thoughts. He should be leading my actions. He should be leading my motivation. And so when I say to you that God is the owner of everything that I have, I'm a steward, that means that he is leading everything in my life. He has authority over my time, my temple, my talents, and my treasure, and my testimony. It's under his authority. And that is so important. And that's what people want to see. Light removes the darkness. We not only carry the light of the gospel, the kingdom of God, but we are that light. Have you ever met someone that when they walk in the room, like it's like the room lights up? They walk in, I mean, you can have a bad day, but here they come, and it just lights the room up, right? Now, have you ever met somebody who had a good day, and they walk in, and it gets dark? I mean, you're feeling good until they walk in. Now, I was having a great day, and now, hopefully, people don't say that about you. Hopefully that when you walk into a room, you bring light to the room. That you don't bring a dark, bad attitude. You're not complaining about what you don't have. But you're saying, this is the day the Lord has made. I should rejoice and be glad in it. That's what God wants us to be. Because when we are the light, the people ask us, what's different about you? But when they see us walk into the room and it gets dark, they say, there's nothing different about you, because that's what we expect, darkness and darkness. So we want to be the light. We are the light that Christ is wanting to work through. And because of the work of the Spirit in our lives, our transformation has produced kingdom light in us, affecting every aspect of our being, turning us into positive influences in this sin-darkened world. We should be a positive influence. And I want to ask you a question. Think about this. Who is going to be in heaven because of you? Who have you influenced for Jesus? Because many of us have influence. We can influence people to do a lot of things. But can you influence people and say, man, think about Jesus Christ. I want to influence you to follow him because this is what he's done in my life. Can you influence people? Can you invite people, influence people to take an hour out of their day, maybe an hour and 30, to come to church with you? See, I believe that Christians, we should be influencers. We should be able to influence somebody that comes to our family, our children, our co-workers, our community. We should be influencers in the world. And that's what we need, more positive influences in our society. And that means that God has left his church to do that. You and only you are the salt and the light of the world. God is saying you are the positive influence, and I would say the God influencers in the world. And I believe that we have been left on this world not just for ourselves, but to reach other people. And that we should be able to reach other people and people be able to say about you and I. We know Jesus saves, but God uses people to bring about his gospel. And someone should be able to say, because of you, I met Jesus. Because of you, my life got transformed. That should be something that we all strive for and look for and say, God, use me to influence somebody for your son, Jesus Christ. The greatest influence that you can ever have on someone is influencing them to follow Jesus Christ. That is what we're here for. I want you to know that and when Jesus establishes his kingdom, Jesus entrusts us to watch over his culture. We are to bring the taste. We are to bring the light. We are to bring the Jesus community kingdom experience to our city so they can know God, find him, repent, and find new life. Think about this. Most times as Christians, we're good at complaining. You don't like our city? You got to ask yourself, are you being the salt in the city? You say, man, the culture is going to hell. The question for you, are you being the salt in the culture? You say, man, the world is so dark. The question to ask yourself, am I shining the light in my community? So if you don't like the way our world is going, where it's headed, the question is, what are you doing based on what Jesus said? This is who you are. And Jesus said this. He said that we are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses saltiness, it becomes good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled under foot by men. That means that where it come a times when people no longer take the church and see it as a valuable asset, they take it for granted, that's saying that we're losing our salt. We're losing our saltiness. That they don't look to us for solutions. When they have a problem, do they come to us and say, hey, what's going on? How can you help us with that problem? When they stop coming to us and looking to God, the problem is that we maybe have lost our saltiness. We're not shining the light. And that's why we need to be intentional about when we say we love one another, when we intentionally use our gifting and live out the love of God toward one another and to the world outside these walls. We are salting the bland and bringing the light to darkness. See, saying I love my church isn't just about us. It isn't. It doesn't just impact us. It's about everyone outside these walls as well. It's about us. And I think, and I envision when we come to church, like this is a beautiful salt shaker. All the salt's in here right now. Beautiful salt. Now, if we just, salt does no good to be kept what? In a salt shaker, right? I mean, it can look good, crystal salt shakers. Those are beautiful salt shakers, but the problem is I want the salt. So if we come here and gather as a whole bunch of salt and never shake ourselves out into the community, what good are we? Not really good at all, right? So that's why, and I want to give you a little history. And when people ask me sometimes, why did you call, why, what made you name the church Beyond the Walls? Let me give you history, right? So you can say, I know why that name is called Beyond the Walls Community Church. The reason being, and this is just my testimony, so it's me, so not every Christian. Before I became a Christian, the Christians that I ran into, I didn't respect. They went to church, they shouted, but I didn't respect them. Because I saw them on Sunday one way, but Sunday evening, not even Monday, Sunday evening, I saw them differently. I had people who would invite me to come to their church. Hey, come to church with me. But yet, Monday through Friday, I watched their lives, and I said, why would I want to come to your church when you're living like me or worse than me? So the same person would tell me, hey, come to church with me on Sunday, but also would invite me, hey, come to the club with me too on Saturday. We'll party like it's, you know, 1999, and then we'll... That's a Prince metaphor, but anyway. And then we'll go to church. And for me, I just didn't feel right to me. Like, why would I do that and then go to church? I mean, it was just, so I really didn't, you know, that really affected me. Then I saw other Christians who did live a certain way, and they would go to church and say, hey, come to church with me. And I would say, well, what did your pastor talk about on Sunday? They would say, I don't know, but that shot, well, I don't know, but that choir show was good. Man, they sung us to death, man. The spirit was high. Now, I didn't understand. I'm thinking, well, you went there and you didn't have nothing to tell me from what he gave you. And so for me, it was like, you know what? There has to be a way of getting Christians to live for Jesus outside of just a Sunday worship experience. That I believe that God wants us to live as Christians beyond the four walls of the church. That the way that you're able to influence someone is that when you go to work Monday and you're able to be kind to people and love people and really be able to share your faith, not in a mean way, but a gentle and loving way, that people are saying, man, there's something about you. I might just come to your church because I see something about you that is genuine, that's different, that's likable. And so the reason why I said beyond the wall, because I said that we want to be a church that's not just known for a Sunday worship, like, man, you can get down on Sunday up in there. But come Monday, they leave as if they never heard anything and never been changed. The question for you and I is that we want to live lives outside of here, lives for Jesus Christ, that we take the salt and we begin to shake it out in our community, at our jobs, at our schools. So the goal is taking Jesus beyond the walls of the church. Because when you read your Bible, Jesus did most of his ministry was outside the temple. The only time he went to the temple was to chase people out. Get up out of here. Because you turned my father's house into what? A den of thieves. He did most of his stuff out in the highways and byways, reaching people, preaching the gospel. He was always beyond the walls of the temple, telling people who were hurting, who was helpless, God loves you. And I believe that if that's what Jesus did, shouldn't we do it too? So we must go beyond the walls and not get comfortable here and say, oh, Sunday is great. We went to church. That was great. But it has to be more than that. What are you doing come Monday? What are you doing Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday, or Saturday? What are you doing with Jesus throughout those other 6 days of the week? We want to live for him and demonstrate that his arrival, that he's here. The kingdom of God is here in our lives. So we want to ask ourselves, how do we bring the love, my church experience, to the culture, to our culture? How do we do that? How do we bring our love, my church experience to our culture? Is it just by wearing a t-shirt? I think it's more than that. Now, the t-shirt is a good conversation starter. Have you worn your t-shirt out in town and people ask you, say, ooh, man, I love my church too. Or they ask you a question about, where do you go to church at? It's a good conversation starter. Now, be honest with yourself. Be honest about this. Now, don't raise your hand. Have some of you said, man, have you only wore your t-shirt when you came here? Like, when you came to church, you wore it here. Now, if you only put your shirt on when you came here, you've missed the whole concept. Well, I told you, I love my church shirt. You missed the whole process. The goal is for you to wear it outside in your everyday when you're shopping, whatever you're doing, and you walk around and people ask you a question. Hey, tell me why you love your church. What church is it? Why do you love your church? What is it about that that make you want to wear a t-shirt that says that? So that's what it's about, us getting outside the four walls and bringing the I love my church experience to our culture. And I believe how we do that is, number one, people will experience Jesus' community when we live its values. When we live the values of the kingdom, people will experience I love my church. When we live out those values. Now, when we think about those values, we can't separate Matthew chapter 5, verses 2 through 12 from Matthew 5, 13 through 16. We call those the Beatitudes. They're not an intro, and then the salt and light part really begins the sermon. They are part of the same thought. So when Jesus talks about the Beatitudes, he says those are the values of the kingdom. Those are the values of the kingdom. Then verses 11 through 12 talks about the promise. Jesus says that when we have these values that we live, that there will be a promise of persecution and a promise of reward. Now, I know that some of you don't like hearing about persecution, but I'm telling you, if you are a Christian and you live the values of the kingdom of God, you will be misunderstood by some, you will be respected by others, and you will be persecuted by some. It's going to happen. But Jesus says he will reward you. He says, blessed are you. When people do what? Mistreat you, talk about you, and say all things about you for my sake. Great is your reward in heaven. See, what we have to be careful about, we don't tell people that, man, if you just live for Jesus, it's going to go well with you on this earth. Let me tell you something. That is not true. For some people, if you do what Jesus tells you to do, it can be dangerous. You can lose family, friends, finances, and you can lose your life. When we read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we talk about those of the hall of faith, the heroes of faith. And most of the time we stop of those who have, you know, moved mountains. But then the writer of Hebrews keeps talking about those who did what? They hid in caves. They were eaten by lions. They were sawn in two. They was burned to death. Then he says, the world was not even worthy of them. That God allowed some Christians to suffer persecution and to be killed. See, Daniel was the exception to the rule. Now what I mean by that, when Daniel got thrown into the lion's den, the lion didn't eat him. But God never told everybody, I'm going to claim the Daniel promise. I'm going to go into the lion's den, I'm going to claim the Daniel promise, and it ain't going to happen to me. There were some Christians who were godly who was eaten by lions. Read your history. Nero persecuted Christians. He burned them to the stake. And God allowed it to happen. Because sometimes, even through persecution, how we die is a testimony to people. Man, they're real. Because they did not deny Jesus Christ even to death. When Nero told them, all you got to do is say Caesar is Lord, and you will live. I can't do that. Jesus is Lord. So when we think about that, when we live out the values of the kingdom, there's a promise of persecution and a promise of reward. We must live out the kingdom of God. I say it again. Jesus has brought the kingdom of God through regeneration and renewal by the Spirit. God transforms us. He does. He transforms a person who says, you know what? I live my life apart from God. And when you surrender to God, God will transform a person's life. I'm a living witness of that. God transformed my life. He gave me a new set of values. Am I perfect? No. But I can say God transformed my life. He does that to those who come to him. The Spirit produces in us a poverty of spirit, a mourning, a meekness, then righteousness, mercy, purity, and peace. These are all characteristics of Jesus' disciples that allow God to establish his kingdom in his way. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Then it says, blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you shall be filled. This is the kingdom life God puts in us, and that we then demonstrate to the world. The Beatitudes are a character profile of a person who says, I love my church. When you say, I love my church, when you wear I love my church t-shirt, you're saying that these are my characteristics. I'm a person of mercy. I'm a person of peace. I'm a person who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. I'm a child of God. Those are the characteristics that God wants to have in us. And when we live that way, we'll be able to say that we're seasoning the culture and we're shining lights. And it's not just a message we say with our lips. It's how we go about living our lives. For too many times as Christians, we talk too much and do so little. We talk too much and do too little. Is there a time and place to talk? Yes, it is. But a time and place to be quiet and to let our actions speak louder than our words. And for the most part, we have a whole bunch of words and no actions. And people do not take Christians seriously enough anymore, because they don't see us living as salt and light beyond the walls of our churches. May we be more salt and light in our culture. And when we think about that, the values in you as you live for the kingdom will bring flavor to a rotting world. The values you live in the kingdom bring light to a world of darkness. People will experience the kingdom when we live as values. This helps us realize how to be effective agents of salt and light. These show us to love the church outside the church. So people say, well, I'm not a good evangelist. Just be a good witness. Just be a good witness. Be salt and be light. Secondly, we live the values of Jesus' community in our daily ordinary. In our daily ordinary. What does that mean when we say that in our daily ordinary? That means that we don't have to do anything spectacular to be effective for God. People might say, well, God hadn't called me to be a pastor, so I can't make an impact on the world. Well, I'm telling you, there are more people who probably made more impacts on the world than pastors. Sometimes we can be the problem as pastors. Sometimes we the problem. But what I'm trying to say is the fact that, you know, God can use it in our daily, ordinary lives, just going about being who we are. Just be ordinary. Now, I'm giving an example of that, a wrong example. There was a brilliant guy who almost OD'd on soy sauce. This guy, he drank a quart of soy sauce and went into a coma. Because of his friends dared him to drink some soy sauce. So he drank a quart of it and went into a coma and nearly died. from an excess of salt in his body. Brother almost overdosed on salt. Think about that. He was 19 years old. Now, too much salt can kill you. Now, the reason why I use that because, you know, the amount of salt had a negative impact on his body, right? Now, let me something else I want to tell you. One day when I was stationed in San Diego, and our ship was in the shipyard. So we used to have to park our cars outside the shipyard and walk in and walk to lunch. And during lunchtime, we would walk by, and there would be a guy out there on a milk cart. And he had a Bible, and he had a sign. Repent, you know, and come to Jesus, or you're going to go to hell. He'd be out there, man, just letting it rip, man, just letting it grip, and just letting it go. Folks passing by looking at him, and he's just out there, man, repent. You know, you're going to go to hell. God loves you. You evil. Now I want you to know, as I watch people pass by this guy, nobody stopped and said, hey, tell me more. Some people pointed. They laughed, shook their heads. Even I got annoyed at it. Now, his message has some truth to it. God does love us. God doesn't want us to turn to him. But he wasn't being effective. He wasn't using common sense. He wasn't influencing anybody to come to Jesus. Because he was trying to share truth with no relationship. He just coming with it. And nobody likes that. You just come in, we don't even know who you are. So he wasn't being effective. So when we think about that, we have to be careful to understand that we can be the salt, but folks should not be ODing on us. Should be going in a coma because they're around us. Because we got so much, we just shaking out. Folks ain't asking for no salt, we just passing the salt. So we have to be careful about that. So there's a negative way we can do that, but also there's a positive way we can do that. The positive way that we can have an effect on people and shake off the salt is something we do here. We talk about our connection groups, and we talk about doing community service projects for people. And you meet people, and when we go out and we serve the community, like we did about 2 weeks ago at the Relay for Life. Went to Great Oak, helped them. They need some help. They called our church and said, would you guys come help us? We said, sure. It's a great event, raising money for people who are battling cancer. So we went and helped them set up. Showing, you know, just doing it because they needed help. And so the lady sent an email back saying, man, thank you guys for helping us out. Without your church, this event would have never happened. Then she put in the quote, she said, such a great group of people. And then she said, you know, they raised over $18,000 for that event. But the whole point is this. She said something about our church. Such a great group of people. That was a positive experience. She said, now, when I think about churches, I think about that Beyond the Walls church came to help us out. They didn't charge us anything. They set up and made the event a success. So we can have the opportunity to pray for people there. We did. I did a prayer. Had a chance to talk to some people about Jesus. But we did it in a way that we were sharing love to people, then we can share truth. So when we think about that, we have to be careful of how we go about trying to help people experience Jesus Christ. We don't want people ODing on salt. We want to be wise in what we do. And when we're wise in how we do it, people will come to Jesus. I had to learn that myself as a Christian. When I became a Christian, man, I was dangerous with a Bible. I think since I knew the truth, people wanted to hear the truth. And so I would tell people the truth who wasn't asking me for it. And I would be like, man, I would be on them. Man, you get saved, bro. You stop doing what you're doing. You're going to die and go to hell. Let me show you right here. And yet God did a work in my heart and said, you know what, that's not the way to do it. Number one, that's not how you came to faith. You love people. And by your example, living those values, they may come and start asking you about Jesus. And so my question for you and I, do we live in such a way that our lives beg a question? Do we live in such a way that our lives have a question, might say, what makes you different? Now when they ask you, then you're able to share. But you're doing it because you're living in such a way where they say there's something different about you. And that's what I think that we need to do is we need to live the values of Jesus' community in our daily ordinary. When we go about our business, when a mother takes care of her children, when you go to work, wherever you, also when you're in the carpool. I mean, many of you commute to work. That's ordinary. Do you know that God can use you in your carpool to transform people's lives? He can. You ride with people for, what, an hour, two? And God can use you. Now, that was so amazing to me that happened about 2 years ago. I was in the carpool. And everybody, if you haven't noticed, Eric's came before and his dad came. And I said, yeah, I commute to work every day. And I'm in a carpool. Now, he says this off the cuff and just kept going. He said, you know what, man, God's going to use you in your carpool. And that was it, just kept going. And I thought about it, I said, man, how does he know that? Well, you know, really, how did he know that God's going to use me in my carpool? So, but that stayed with me. So I started going to work, and I started seeing my carpool people differently. Differently than I saw them before. I've been riding with them to work. Now, if I name my carpool people, some of you would know who they are. One of my carpool people that came to our church and was a part of our church that I baptized the whole family was Sam Tariak, the carpool. So I started using my carpool, and I started praying for people in my carpool. And one day I asked Sam, the Lord told me, hey, ask Sam to come to church. And I said, honestly, I'm embarrassed of this. I said, no. Here's why I said no. I said, maybe we just start meeting at our home in a living room. I'm going to ask a dude to come to church. He's going to say, where or in my living room? What type of church is that, a cult or something? That's what I thought. But I just asked him. So I said, hey, man, you know, we start a church in our home. Love to have you, invite you to come to church. And he said to me the amazing thing that almost blew my mind. He said, okay. I mean, wasn't just, okay. I'll tell my wife and we'll be there Sunday. I'm like, really? So yeah. And guess what happened? They came. They came to our church. And we baptized Sam, his whole family, in my backyard. They came to church. All he was looking for was the fact that somebody, God said, I'm going to use you to influence him, and you invited him, and he came. In my carpool. Tell you somebody else in my carpool. Remember Chris and Jer? Baptized Chris and Jer at our house. Talking to him one day, me and him in the carpool by himself. Hey, you mind coming to church? I said, I think you, he said, sure, my wife would like them. They came. Baptized them too. This guy said to me, man, God can use you in your carpool. In the ordinary things of life, God can use you. Some of us are looking past right in front of us. There are people right in our lives, God said, I place you in that carpool or in that job with those people to influence them for me. And you're looking past them, and I put you right there to be the salt and to be the light. So think about that. Just in your ordinary life, Jesus works. Jesus does extraordinary things through ordinary people in ordinary circumstances. God will work in your life. Now think about this. Those who have truly experienced Jesus will help others experience Jesus. Those who have truly experienced Jesus will help others experience Jesus. Now, I told you how I was when I got saved, that I was just being folks over at the Bible, just telling folks to get saved. Now, God lovingly rebuked me. And the reason why I say lovingly, because he knew my heart was in the right place. My head wasn't, but my heart was. I wanted people to experience what I experienced. That's the right heart. So when you love Jesus and you have experienced him, you want other people to experience him, right? You ever been to a good restaurant and you can wait till people, man, we got to go back to this place to eat, man. There's some good food over there. I mean, we got to go. Matter of fact, it's so good. You come, I'm just going to pay for it. You just come. Same way about Jesus, right? The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So when you have truly experienced Jesus Christ, you will help others experience Jesus. It's impossible to really experience Jesus and not tell no one. Because he says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Have you truly experienced Jesus Christ? I hope that if we have learned anything is that we have to continually tell people about Jesus Christ. See, loving the church isn't about the building, but relationships. It's not about this, not about brick and mortar, not being caught up in how many we can see, how beautiful our building looks. It's about the people. It's about the people. It's about relationships with other people. Primarily, our relationship with God, but also our relationship with one another. But it doesn't stop there. We also must love people outside of our walls. And I began to look forward to my commute to work to see what God was going to do that week. Because God was only saying that, not only are you commuting, I'm going with you. Jesus said, I'm in the van with you. I'm riding with you to work every morning. Let's see what God's going to do today in our lives. And God did a great work. People's lives were transformed. All because ordinary thing. I experienced Jesus. I want people to experience Jesus too. But you got to build relationships with people. Think about this. The very first week when we read John 13:35, it was this. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We cannot claim we love Jesus Christ if we don't love one another. Just can't. It's not real. People will see through that. They can see that mile away. If you don't love God, you don't love other people, you don't love your church, no. They can see through that. But when you say you love your church, you got to love people. And how can people observe us having a reputation of love if we're never around people? God loves people, right? You got to be around people. Jesus was around people. You know that Jesus was, he was known for being a friend of sinners? I mean, they say, man, that guy's around sinners. He's like, yep, you got that right. That's why I'm here. I mean, he even had the audacity to go to a barbecue at some tax collector's house, at Matthew's house. He told Matthew, hey, come follow me, and Matthew did something. He called his boys over to meet Jesus. And they came, and Jesus ate with them. And their folks said, I cannot believe this guy is over there eating with tax collectors. And yet, we're reading the gospel of what? Matthew, who was a tax collector, who was called by Jesus, transformed by Jesus, and used by Jesus. And now we're reading the gospel of Matthew, a tax collector who was transformed by Jesus. Matthew has affected people's lives, countless of lives, because Jesus affected his life. Who are you going to affect for the gospel? Because Christ transformed you. You can't season and shine when your ordinary is separate from darkness. So what we need the church, we need connection groups, and the rest of our programs assist us to grow and become a stronger community of faith. But we are strengthening our saltiness and our brightness if you fail to never be around other unbelievers. The question for us, now here's a problem that messes up as Christians sometimes. We love us so much, we hang out, but then we miss while we're here. We're salt and we're light, right? There's nothing, now too much salt can hurt you. And so you have to take some of that salt and start sprinkling it on me and go give it to someone who doesn't have any salt. We have to be around unbelievers. We have to be around other people and let them see us not being so strange and crazy. We got to talk to them. We got to interact with them. We got to use their language. When they say good morning, we got to say what? Good morning. Right? We don't say what? I'm blessed and highly favored, baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's scaring folks. They don't understand what that means. Just say, good morning, how are you doing? It works. It works. Just try it tomorrow. We say, good morning, say, hey, good morning, how are you? Just simple stuff. Be around unbelievers. Talk with them. You know, how we can also do that also as a church, we live our values in connection with the world. Some ways we can do that is, hey, make connection in your neighborhood. Hey, be a part of a basketball team. You can coach one. Some of us, you know, back stuff, we can't play no ball, but we can coach it. So maybe coach. You can coach a team. Or you can do what some of you do. Some of you love skating. you know, you go to the roller rink and skate around. And while you're skating, you'll meet people. Talk to them. Get to know them. They have problems. And I guarantee you, at some point, God said, I'm going to use you while you're around here skating. God will use you in that area. When you're coaching the basketball, God will use you. It's all about us being engaged in the community in which we live. In our ordinary lives, doing extraordinary things for God. And when we do that, people will experience what we call, I love my church. When we do those things. So how do we help each other grow in that area? My conclusion is this. This year, and I know it's almost gone, but we still got time. This year, commit to a connection group and build authentic relationships. Serve your church with what you have. Now that's key. Serve your church with what you have. Every one of us has something to serve, to give. God has given you something. There's nobody say, I have nothing to give, Pastor. No, you got something. Some time, some talents, some treasure. You can give those things. Serve God with what you have and volunteer in the community. When we do those things, we will be a living demonstration of what it means when we say, I love my church. That's why our connection groups are so important, because it helps us build authentic relationships. It helps us serve our church with what we have. It helps us volunteer in the community. See, you don't have to go too far to think. We already got it set up for you. If you join a connection group, you're going to establish a relationship. Guarantee you. If you do it right, if you are real, then you're going to get a chance to do what? You know, volunteer in the community. We did that this past. Then you get a chance to really serve in the church. Because you're going to be around people that you like and you love. You're going to say, man, what can I do to serve the people that I have a relationship with? And it's going to happen. But it all flows from our connection groups. Everything flows from that. And we made it that way intentionally because it helps us build a stronger relationship with one another, what Larry Osborne calls a sticky church. We Velcro ourselves together with one another. And when we are Velcro together, we are a mighty force for God. And that's why you always hear me talk about connection groups, connection groups, connection groups. If you want to really live out the life of Beyond the Walls Community Church, it's going to begin with, first of all, connecting with Jesus Christ in a personal relationship. And then connecting with a group of believers in a connection group where you meet and you pray for one another and you will grow. You will. If you do it that way, you will grow. And you begin to build a relationship with other people. You'll love them. And you'll serve them. And you'll volunteer in the community. So that's our goal as we leave this place, this school, that we will continue that model when we say, I love my church. That we will continue to reach out to one another. That we don't get this thing and say, okay, what's going to happen when we leave here? What's going to happen? Are we going to grow? Are we going to be disconnected? I remember when we first moved to this school. Do you know that people did not want to leave the house? I'm serious. I mean, I was like, now, my wife wants you to leave the house on Sundays. But the people was coming to me saying, what are we going to do when we leave? I'm afraid that when we leave, we're not going to be as close as we are. What are we going to do? Things are going to change. I'm like, it shouldn't change if you keep doing what you're doing now. It shouldn't change. The question for you is that we have to stay connected to one another. And it shouldn't change. So some of you may ask, what are we going to do when we leave here? Do the same thing we've been doing, loving God and loving people. We're going to continue to connect with one another in authentic relationships. We're going to serve one another in our church. And we're going to serve our community. And we're going to glorify Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do. It's pretty simple. If you follow the process, it's pretty simple. It becomes difficult when you don't follow the process. But when you do that, it becomes easy. And I can point to people in our church who have been faithfully a part of connection groups, and they can tell you it's been had a positive impact on their lives, on the men Christians. I can put them up here and they tell you, it has helped me grow in my faith. And that's why I believe in them. I believe that's what we should be doing, building relationships with one another. I believe that every believer, every member of Beyond the Walls should be in a connection group. I believe that. I just believe that. You should be in a connection group with the people in this church. And if you do that, you will grow and you'll be transformed. But it starts, first of all, with Jesus Christ. I believe every human being needs to be connected with God through Jesus Christ. God believed that. He sent Jesus Christ to do that, to come, to preach the kingdom of God to us, and to die for in our place for our sins. And God has a free gift for you today. It's salvation. And we always like to say that if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're missing out on the most important person in the world. It's Jesus. It's a gift. Many, you know, people like gifts. I like gifts. The greatest gift you could ever receive is Jesus Christ. It's free. Why wouldn't you take hold of that when it's free? When he transformed your life. So today, if you don't know Jesus, you say, you know what? I want that gift. The gift of forgiveness, the gift of peace, hope, the gift of a new life. It starts when we place our faith in Jesus Christ and we surrender and say, God, man, I believe that I'm not perfect, but you are. And Jesus Christ is that perfect Savior who came and died for my sins. And I know there's nothing I can do to please you, but you said that if I just receive Jesus Christ, believe that he's your son, that he died for my sins and was risen from the dead, I'm going to be saved. Simple, free gift. There are many people in here who's already done that. But there's many more that need to. So today, we're going to give you the opportunity. If you have not received the free gift, don't leave the church without the free gift that Jesus has for you today. Silver and gold we do not have. What we do have, we give to you. It's Jesus Christ. Don't live another day in defeat, depression. Live for Jesus. So let's pray.